The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 150 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020. I'm your host, Derek Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, who'd have thought episode 150, we'd be stuck here in quarantine still?
Yeah, the highly quarantined podcast that we're doing. Yes, I remember how exciting it was when we got to episode 100. Yeah. I like hitting the milestone numbers.
Yeah, this one doesn't seem as exciting just because of the circumstances.
No,
we should be right in the meat of the season right now. We should be really excited about how it's going. And
yeah, we were on a nice little train and then. Crash.
Yeah.
No yep. good. That's all right.
Yep.
We're making it. We're surviving, man.
Somehow we are surviving. So we went back iRacing this weekend and nobody got suspended. Nobody got lost sponsors. Nobody got fired. So that's good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sort of that happened. I was reading a little bit earlier that it appears one of the drivers may have retired from iRacing. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. I did see Bobby Labonte got Ferrari as a sponsor.
Nice.
For the IROC racing he's doing or something. But nice. That's the only thing I was like, huh, positive news out of iRacing. This is good.
Yeah, I was reading that Bubba Wallace retired from iRacing today.
Well, he did the Polish victory lap and did a wave to the crowd, and that was very nice.
Yep.
So good for him.
So iRacing was at the virtual Richmond Raceway this past weekend. I watched it as I've watched all of them so far. I will say, James, that the racing was much better this weekend. iRacing has flip-flopped with the format multiple times. Like, every week on this thing, it's different. That's one of the complaints that Jeff Gluck has that we're going to talk about in a couple minutes. They flipped in the right direction this week. They got rid of the full reset. So nobody was allowed to get a full reset. The first race they were allowed like 3 and then they dropped it to 2. And I think the week before it was 1, but no reset. So that was nice because everybody was a lot more conservative with their runs and not doing stupid things because they didn't want to be stuck out of the race. They wanted to actually race. So that was nice. It went green in the beginning, had a long green flag run, and then we had a couple of cautions stacked on top of each other. But for the most part, the racing was good. You know, I really thoroughly enjoyed the Richmond race. I was thinking throughout the Richmond race that this race is better than most of the Richmond races have been lately. And then Gluck wrote about it and it got me all riled up. But we'll get to that in a minute. So racing was much better. William Byron gets his second iRacing Pro Invitational win in a row. So coming out of the, you know, he's dominated the whole thing so far. He's just gotten bumped out of the way. Timmy Hill was coming up, trying to get to his back bumper at the end, but wasn't able to do it. So William Byron gets the win. Matt DiBenedetto got thrown out for rough driving. I don't remember who he was wrecking with now at this point, but he was running into somebody else. It's kind of interesting, the tempers that are still going on these things.
It wasn't Chris Bell, was it? Was that? Or that was a different thing, and I don't think it was.
I can't remember. Maybe it was Christopher Bell. I don't know.
I don't think so. I only watch the highlights, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, word is Matt DiBenedetto was wearing a giraffe costume, so he got suspended.
He was. I did see that.
He got kicked out of the iRacing race with a giraffe costume. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's not a whole lot to talk about. It was a decent race. Again, it's iRacing. It's what we've got right now. James, you said you watched the highlights. You haven't sat down and actually watched one, right?
I haven't. No, I did try to watch a replay once, and I made it, I think, 5 minutes.
So I have a question for you before we start talking about Gluck here. What is it that keeps you from doing it? Like what is it that bothers you? Because something is, I mean, let's preface this too, that I don't think you tend to sit down and watch a full regular race either lately. Generally, you kind of do other things while you're watching a race, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of a multitasker, but I will, the thing with a real, quote unquote, real NASCAR race, I know we're trying to decipher between real and virtual now, but a real NASCAR race for me is I get it on, and you know, I think you probably understand this as well, when you have a young family and there's lots of stuff going on that you know, it's tough to sit down for 3 hours to watch a full race.
No, I tell everybody get away from me and leave me alone.
Yeah,
and I just,
yeah.
I turn the TV.
I do that
every time somebody's talking in the room. I turn the TV up a couple notches louder.
Yeah, there you go.
Until it gets unbearable and everybody kind of gets the hint.
Yeah,
they never
yeah.
get the hint. Ever. Yeah.
I would say I average watch at 75% of every race that's on. Sometimes it's a little less, and sometimes it's more. But I'm always there for the big stuff. I don't.
And that's,
I usually
that's
don't
cup race, defend. Right?
Yeah, yep. That's most of the cup race, and then I like to peek in on the trucks and Xfinity from time to time. You know, if they're racing at Daytona or you know Eldora for the trucks, I don't miss. Things like that, but I'm usually poking in on those. But yeah, for the cup races, I'm watching for the majority. I'm watching most of it.
So what is it about iRacing that makes it just not appeal to you?
I can't pinpoint what it is. I just know that it's not real NASCAR racing, and it doesn't interest me.
It's real, like, racing though, with the real drivers. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm trying to understand, because I would rather be watching the real thing. Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I would rather watch a boring, real NASCAR race than a really exciting fake NASCAR race.
Here's what catches my attention. It's the old stuff that NASCAR is pushing out. It's the highlight, the full race the full race replays of the 82 Talladega.
I can't watch that.
See, yeah, and I don't know what and maybe that's just something that, you know, maybe that's the history buff in me a little bit.
Know me. I love the history, but I can't sit down and watch an old race like that.
And I won't watch the entire old race, I'll say that, but I love seeing that stuff, and I do tune in when it's on. You know, if it's on the Facebook feed or something, I'll have it running, you know.
That's interesting.
But for me, it's like the iRacing stuff just isn't – it doesn't do anything for me. I just get instantly bored, and I – it's like watching, I don't know. I don't want to say like watching paint dry, but it's like watching a discipline of racing that just doesn't interest me. You know, I don't know. It's not the real thing.
See, cause I sat down and maybe it's because I don't know. I don't know what it is, but so this weekend I sat down and watched the entire IndyCar race from Twin Ring Muttigi, or however you pronounce it. No, I think I watched the Indy race delayed. I sat and watched the entire Saturday Night Thunder from Richmond, and then I tuned in the next day. That was live, and I tuned in the next day and watched the entire Richmond race live.
My question to you is, are somebody who is very interested in iRacing, and you don't have a rig.
That's what I was wondering, is if that maybe is it.
Because
I have the interest in iRacing too. But
that's the thing, is I know that, listen, I would love to try a sim, and I would love to have one and run it, but yeah. I just, it's not something that's going to become a hobby of mine. I have too many other things that I want to do
That's why I haven't gotten involved in it, because I would want to commit a ton of time to it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be able to.
And I hope people who hear this don't get me wrong. Like, I'm just trying to poo-poo all of this stuff. That's not it.
No, you're not. Jeff Gluck is, but you're not.
Yeah, I love the iRacing platform. I love what it does for the sport and for those who are playing iRacing. And my word choices also might not be great, but who compete on iRacing, let's say, or it's a hobby of yours. More power to you, man. I love that stuff. I used to play all the old NASCAR games when I was growing up. And I mean, I'll still pop on the old Xbox, and I'll put in an old NASCAR game from time to time. I love playing that stuff. I still feel nostalgic over it. I really enjoy it. It's just, spend my time, if I'm going to sit down and watch something, I'd rather invest in something that to me is a real thing, I guess. Like, I went full deep into the Bulls documentary on ESPN, The Last Dance, and I was just, and I know it's old and we all know how the story goes, but that stuff fascinated me. And like, that's the kind of things in sports I'm looking forward to right now. The iRacing stuff just doesn't do it for me.
See, I just love racing, and I
sure, yeah, I will, I get that.
I will honestly say that if they continue to do this, once real NASCAR starts up, I won't turn it on. But yeah, for me right now, this is what's giving me that racing fix. This is, and I'm not watching it with annoyance or even going, even sitting down and going, God, I wish this was real, because it's something. It's competition. Yeah. You know, the drivers, for the most part, other than some in the back, are taking it seriously. And so it's enjoyable to me. Bristol was a little less enjoyable because there were so many wrecks. But for the most part, it's been really enjoyable. So I wanted to I wanted to talk about Jeff Gluck's column here. For those of you who don't subscribe to The Athletic and don't get to read Jeff's stuff anymore, I highly recommend you subscribe to The Athletic. Do some searching for some deals. I'm sure there's a deal on a subscription. There always is. I don't know right now because I am a subscriber. I was a subscriber to Jeff before before he switched to The Athletic, and because of that, I got free access to The Athletic, but I'll continue to subscribe to The Athletic, I believe, once that free deal runs out. It's a great site. It's the nice thing about it, The Athletic, is that they cover things that are different from what your other sports things cover. That's something that they preach there.
Yeah.
They instruct there, and Jeff's expressed some frustration over it because he doesn't go to the track and cover things like he used to. They want him doing something different, something that brings something unique. This is not an advertisement for The Athletic. I don't care. I have nothing affiliated with them whatsoever, but I think it's a great site. As somebody who is a journalist, to see a site that's getting asking people to pay for journalism is awesome. And I have a ton of respect for Jeff Gluck, and I'm gonna rip on him a little bit in this about this column, but I still respect Jeff Gluck a lot.
Well, heck, man, you and I rip on each other.
Yeah, exactly.
We're fine. It's not there's no vitriol here. It's just opinion. You know?
I love Jeff. I think if it wasn't for Jeff, we probably wouldn't be doing this podcast.
You're probably right about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jeff was the one that did the podcast, and we went, oh, yeah, we could do that, and decided to do it. So, but okay, I'm gonna read some of this again. Please go subscribe to The Athletic. I'm hoping that Jeff isn't upset with me for reading some of this that is behind a paywall. Let's see here. Oh, I'm trying to find, I guess I should have prepared ahead of time. Let's see.
And he did, I'll filibuster for you for a second.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're not subscribing to The Athletic, there's lots of good things that come with it. But one of the things is Jeff and Jordan Bianchi, who's really great in his own right. He's a newsbreaker in his own right. They host the podcast, The Teardown. And as an Athletic subscriber, you get access to more podcasts. But even if you're not, go to Apple Podcasts and look for The Teardown. And each week you get one free podcast. So it hits your feed just like it would hit ours, and they do good work there as well. If you're listening to NASCAR podcasts, that's another good one to go and listen to is what Jeff and Jordan do, and I think very highly of Jordan as well.
Yes,
they're both doing great work, and Jordan's been doing great work for a long time, and I'm glad that he's found a good home with The Athletic. It seems like they're doing well up until this whole crisis happened. They were kind of cruising along there for the last year.
So Jeff writes, I can't cover the eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series events the same way as real races anymore. It makes me feel guilty to say that because a lot of people have worked hard to make iRacing on television a suitable replacement for actual racing during the coronavirus-created hiatus. Everyone needs some positive distractions. These races seem to fit the bill at first, but after four of these things, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. We gave it a shot for a while. The first few weeks, I treated the Pro Invitational Series events much the same as any other race, a virtual pre-race tweet-up, in-race tweets, a post-race podcast, this post-race column, and even a quiet track picture. With real-life NASCAR on pause, I selfishly wanted to cover the eNASCAR races like actual ones instead of just a video game. Why not? We all need content, right? So he says he's filled with optimism after the first couple of races that they could be a substitute for the real thing, but they weren't the same. I'm not sure what change with something did. Actually, I don't think it's one thing specifically. It's just the real life. It's not just the real life consequences of Kyle Larson's racial slur or Bubba Wallace's rage quitting / sponsor blow up. It's not just the constant format changes or the politics of deciding who gets invited to race and who doesn't. It's not just the novelty wearing off. Perhaps it's all of the above. The bottom line is I just couldn't generate the same enthusiasm for Sunday's race. It bums me out because people will view me as negative again, or dumping on the series when I really did try to embrace it. Other racing reporters will keep up the coverage, and I will encourage you to read their work if you're interested. We all need the support right now. But if I were to keep covering these events the same way as real races, it would be disingenuous. I would just be faking enthusiasm and being a total phony. All right. The rest of it, guys, go to theathletic.com, subscribe, read the column. It's a great column.
Attaboy, Jeff. I like it.
That being said, here's my problem with Jeff's point of view. Jeff has every right to his point of view. James, you have every right to your point of view. I get it that some people just don't like this, can't get into it, whatever. Totally understand. My problem is if you're going into this trying to treat it like the real thing, you're going to be disappointed. That's not what this is.
Yep.
This is not the real thing. I'm not fooling myself. I'm not. Guys, if you put Timmy Hill in the same car that William Byron is racing on Sunday in a real NASCAR race, Timmy Hill's not going to run up front. I get it. This is different. Nothing against Timmy Hill. Timmy Hill's a great driver. I'm sure he's got a ton of skill. But he excels at this because this is something that he's been able to be good at and compete on a level playing field where he has
put
in the
time
cup
in. Yeah, put the time in
if
to be good
if he
at
got
it.
The time to put into a good car in the Cup Series, he'd, yes, probably be able to eventually. But he's not going to off the bat. We're seeing different names up front. We're seeing different people competing. Kyle Busch, how many times have we talked about how great of a driver he is? He sucks at this.
He's coming.
He is coming. But he sucks. Jimmy Johnson is terrible at this. Absolutely terrible. But it's fun to watch. It's entertainment. Don't cover it like the real thing. That's one thing that I'll give Fox credit for in their broadcast is they haven't. They do some of the stuff. There's enough of the real NASCAR feel there to where it kind of almost feels normal. But there's enough of the recognizing that it's not real that makes it work. And I mean, don't come into it with this point of view that it's a replacement. It's not. It's something to do right now. I'm having a chance to see sort of interact through TV with my favorite drivers week in and week out that I wouldn't be able to. They're getting a chance to keep up on their skills, get some practice, get some seat time in, no matter how different it is. And we get to watch it on TV and have something to do on Sunday.
It's a technological marvel. I mean, with the Twitch stuff and things that are coming in.
The fact that they have onboard shots in the driver's living room and that it's synced up. So I noticed on Sunday, when it went to commercial, I switched over to a couple of the live feeds on Twitter and they were almost matched up perfectly. So you could jump from one feed to the other and not miss out on stuff. And it was great because you could sit there and watch that onboard at the same time as the TV broadcast. And
I was reading today that there is room. Basically, the article was, is there, and I'm sorry, I can't remember where I saw this, but is there room for Twitch in real NASCAR?
Yeah.
So that is kind of an exciting thing where, you know, possibly down the line, you know, this platform that, and Eric, the numbers show that younger people are tuning into this.
Right.
And who may not even be like NASCAR fans per se, that they just like iRacing.
Yeah.
So we're drawing an audience here that translate. I'm always skeptical on the translation numbers. But we're seeing some signs here where it's not all, you know, all negative. These races are drawing pretty good numbers.
When you throw a Twitch race up or Twitch broadcast up on or broadcast up on Twitch one of these races and it's getting 50,000 viewers, that unless you're PewDiePie, sorry guys that don't know who PewDiePie is.
Oh, that's a lot. That I actually know that that's even an old reference.
If you're not him, you're not drawing those numbers on Twitch. That race is automatically going to go to the top of the charts. It's going to be a featured event on Twitch every time. And that's bringing eyes to our sport that have never been on our sport before. And look, more power to Jeff. I don't want him covering this if he doesn't enjoy it. That would just be a waste of time for him. It'd be a waste of time for us. He's right. It would be disingenuous.
Well, and he's not wrong either on some of his points that he made and in just the snippets that you were reading. Something has happened. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
the first
it's less
times.
Fun on the inside now than it used to be.
You know, what do I always say about NASCAR when they find a good thing? What do they exactly. always do?
Yeah,
they beat it into the ground, and I'm starting to feel this has gotten beaten to the ground a little bit because they can't settle on formatting, and obviously the drivers can't behave themselves. We've got a couple of instances of that, and it's just I even found it kind of, even though I wasn't tuning in to watch, I'm like, hey, this is a great idea. And then after the second week, I'm like, holy cow, this thing, it's not for me, but holy cow, it's working. And then all of a sudden you start to see some of the negative spin, and then things got really out of hand.
Right.
Last week with, you know, the, and that's not, that has nothing right. to, that's not an iRacing problem. What happened last week? That's a human problem.
Yeah. And it wasn't even the Pro Invitational Series.
Yeah. It wasn't even the Pro Invitational Series. It was just, you know, these guys having fun online, but yep. well, they were trying to, but,
yeah.
But yeah, man, it's definitely like, you know, sometimes NASCAR finds these little gems, and every once in a while they won't ruin it. Like the Eldora Truck Series race is still a nicely fine-tuned gem.
They've tried to ruin it a couple times.
They've tried, but it's so still far. it's still in pretty pristine condition. It's not perfect.
This past year was the best they've done it ruining it, but
yeah,
so far they haven't yet.
They've tried. They haven't ruined the Roval yet, but, right. but mark my words, they're gonna find a way.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that happens. But you know, it's. I respect Jeff's opinion as well, and I think him and I share some of the same feelings, but I also disagree with some of it too, because it's not all bad. And I agree with you 100%. Like, don't take this seriously. If you're going to watch it, just have fun watching it.
We got to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. race an IndyCar race last week.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. At Michigan.
Yeah, just cool. That's not going to happen in real life. You know, Kyle Busch raced the IndyCar race in Japan.
Yep.
He's not going to Japan to run an IndyCar race, folks. It's not going to happen. We might someday get to see Kyle Busch run an Indy, but that's it, you know? And that's the thing is we're getting – so Dale Jr. is out of retirement right now racing NASCAR.
Yeah.
You know? Jeff Gordon's coming out of retirement this weekend, breaking news, guys. Jeff Gordon's racing Talladega this weekend.
That's fantastic.
So – I mean, we're getting to see things we wouldn't have gotten to see. Enjoy it for what it is. It's not.
And if you're fans of these guys, why wouldn't you want to tune in and just be like, "Hey, man, Jeff Gordon's going to try doing this."
And
don't watch it as a Jeff Gordon race. Just be like, "Hey, man, that's cool. That's my guy. That's Jeff Gordon. I get to watch him, you know, kind of do this fun thing."
Well, and Jeff's on Fox. You know, he's going to get the Clint Bowyer treatment, where he's going to have 15 voices in his ear. He's going to be all mic'd up in the studio, and it'll be entertaining. So.
Yeah, Talladega might be one that I have to just check out because that could be good.
I think it's going to be really good. Dale Jr.'s got a video, or I think it was on his Twitter, of him missing a wreck the other night in the replacements race at Talladega. And it was like the parting of the Red Seas. It was so amazing. Even he was shocked that he missed this wreck. It's excellent. So, Talladega's going to be good.
If he wins one of these things, is Junior Nation going to rise up from the ashes?
It's going to be good stuff, man. I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen. I want to see more new winners. I love this. It's not a replacement, but it's something to watch right now. I tell you what, guys, I don't have a lot to look forward to right now. And I've expressed this to my wife that I want to be able to be at the TV during these races, because it is the one thing during the week I get to look forward to right now.
And that's a really great point, because we all have to have at least that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have mine, and you know, I know hopefully other people have theirs too, but we're all stuck inside. The weather's crappy in Michigan.
Yep.
It's been terrible. And when we do get outside, it's freezing or windy, or it's crap. It's just crap.
Yep.
And all there is to do is to work and then work around the house. Like, right. That's not fun.
No.
And that's why I was so I got so geeked up that ESPN did this documentary on the Michael Jordan Bulls, because I'm like, oh my god, this is something new footage, nobody's ever seen it before. I can't wait. This is something that I am watching this. Do not come near me. And I get it, man. If this is your thing, enjoy it, soak it in, have fun with it. And let it be that Band-Aid for you until you get the real thing back.
Yep. And damn it, Jeff, quit being freaking negative. I'm just kidding. Just had to get it in there.
Poor Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
He really did give it a try, though, because Jeff was negative Nancy on iRacing stuff way before this. He kind of built the island of negative iRacing opinion. And then, you know, he came around and he was like having fun watching it. And then the Bubba thing happened, and then the Larson thing, and then he's not having fun anymore.
Look, I can't watch NASCAR Heat. It's stupid. It's a video game. But this doesn't terrible. Feel like a video game to me. It's realistic enough that I can enjoy it.
Don't worry. They took care of everybody having you know, a nice view of the racing with the stupid cars that they're designing with the it's not listen, people, for the car, the next gen car coming out. Keep the numbers on the door panels.
I knew
that's
it.
All I asked.
I knew if I put it out there, I'd give you a chance to get in there.
I don't care what you do to the cup cars as long as you keep the numbers where they're supposed to be.
I don't mind a couple of the designs, but as long that number needs to be on the door.
It needs to be on the door.
They can shrink it, they can move it on the door, but leave it on the door.
It's not a NASCAR race car unless it's got numbers slapped on the door and the roof.
Yep.
Just leave it alone. Yep. Some things don't change. Like, everything can change, but some things, you know, just you don't have to tweak it.
James, do you know why the number on the roof of the cup cars faces the infield?
I do. I thought I did, but I do not. Enlighten.
It is because of the old days when they would hand score the cars. Oh. The scorers would sit in the infield, and they would score the cars, and they need to see the numbers on the roof pointing toward them.
I always wondered why they faced inward, I guess, would be. Yep.
Yep, they've never changed it. You'll see a lot at short tracks and stuff like that, a lot of them face towards the fans because that's who sees the numbers.
I remember being a kid and there would be die casts, and sometimes they would, and every once in a while you'll see a die cast get misprinted.
Yeah, and like the numbers facing the wrong way.
Yeah, and I always would notice that stuff, like, that number's not right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though it's, you know, a minor detail, but, well, there you go. I got educated today. Huh.
Yeah, my Twitter feed right now is just these NASCAR Heat cars, and it's really annoying.
It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when ASA did it, I hated it. I hated it so much.
Yeah.
And it's just, no. The number should not be on the rear quarter panel. It needs to be on the, yeah.
So if the you need any other there? Reasons to not watch NASCAR Heat, that's another one for you. I think they did this last year, though, too.
Yeah.
To be fair.
I gave up on NASCAR Heat a while ago. I'm sorry. It just is a terrible game.
Well, just watch the championship race from last year's Pro Series, and that's all you'll need to know how bad that was.
Huh. All right. Yeah. All right. James, we got some real NASCAR news.
Oh, boy.
Real NASCAR news.
Real news.
Let's see how we're going to discuss this.
Good stuff.
So there is talk. There's been a lot of talk recently that the real thing is coming back very soon, supposedly. That is the plan. There are some states that do not have stay-at-home orders, one of those being South Carolina, which could very well be the first race back. The talk is to run Darlington the week before or weekend before Memorial Day, and then go to Charlotte on Memorial Day weekend and follow up with Atlanta Motor Speedway. This is courtesy of Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. Apparently, excuse me, a lot of the talk has been teams want to be within driving distance, so they don't have to fly, understandably so. So NASCAR is looking at a lot of tracks around the Charlotte area right now within a couple hours of Charlotte, so those ones are starting to ring a bell.
Can we get North Wilkesboro back on the schedule?
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? I saw somebody go crazy about that the other day, and
Moody was all over it today. That's the only reason I said it. He's fed up with the North Wilkesboro talk. So.
Right. Obviously,
Rockingham?
People are
Rockingham back.
Rockingham could. People are excited because no fans will be permitted at these races, so we don't need fan amenities to be able to run a race at, you know, North Wilkesboro, for example. But sorry, guys, North Wilkesboro.
Yeah, it's not happening. Sorry, guys.
There's so much work that we'll need to go into that place. Can you imagine? First of all, there's no safer barriers there, guys, so it's not going to happen, period, because of that. And I guarantee you
there's
one of those
no
concrete walls and just crumble.
Yeah, there's no terrible way to do it. It's
it's a nice dream. You guys get to race at iRacing here in a couple months.
Yep.
But yeah, Rockingham might be a possibility. That'd be interesting.
I think Rockingham actually might be in pretty bad shape now too, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
Possibility, yeah. I'm not sure. I'd have to dive in a little bit, but it's not been taken care of for a little bit.
Well, I know there's always pictures of the infield like 6 feet tall and stuff, but
yeah,
they've always said that before that they could just cut that and bale it and it'd be done. It's just grass, no big deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so looking like we're going to see some racing without fans for a while. I would assume that that's going to be for the foreseeable future. I can't imagine we're going to be packing hundreds of thousands of people into the stands at any track or tens of thousands of people in any stands at any point in the near future. Which is disappointing, but at least we'll get to watch it on TV. So what do you think, James? You think mid-May makes sense to come back racing?
Do you want NASCAR to be the first ones to do this?
Well, they might not be, because Major League Baseball wants to do it too.
Yeah, but here's
Supercross is supposedly coming back. They're going to race. They're going to close off the dome in Arizona and just race every remaining round of the Supercross in that dome.
Are they going to reconfigure the track each time?
I believe so.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
See, motocross, you could do it.
Yeah.
But here's the difference between NASCAR and all the other, all the other sports are talking about this. The NHL, I think, put the kibosh on it today.
Okay.
But the NBA, they are trying to figure out how they're going to get their playoffs in. And baseball is talking about doing the bubble. And that's what the NBA wants to do too. They want to take a couple of arenas and they want to do a bubble.
Yep.
When you're traveling from state to state, you're not really doing a bubble.
Right.
You can silo the track, but you still got people coming in and out. You're coming into contact with people that that are from that area. As much as I want racing back, I really, really do. Cause I don't want to do any more iRacing focused podcasts, but I don't think it's a good idea just yet. I don't know if you agree, Eric, but I just think we should not be rushing into this, and it feels like this is rushing into it, even though it seems like it's not. I don't know, man. I don't know. We're not the WWE just in Florida having events, you know?
Right.
It's not the same thing. It's a lot of people in one area.
So a couple of other things that have been floated to make this work is limiting staff at the track, shortening races, and potentially running without pit stops.
Yeah, no live pit stops, yes.
Which would be interesting. I'm totally okay with that. Whatever gets us going sooner. But I'm with you.
We want it back. We really do. Like, you and I are starving for
when
our
NASCAR race. When it's back, I'm turning the TV on. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah,
I'm certainly not going to boycott them because of decisions anything like that. I will be all over it. But man, I don't know. I'd really hate to.
It makes you feel a tad hypocritical, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I would do the same thing. I would yes, live sports. I don't care what, I want to see my racing back. I want to see my basketball back. I want racing back. And hell, I even miss baseball. Yeah. And I haven't said that in 10 years.
Yeah, I might even watch a baseball game right now if it was on and it was new.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Heck, I might even watch basketball, James.
If the NBA playoffs got going, I would be pretty ecstatic. It would be great.
I definitely want racing back. I will say that I have made zero travel plans for this summer.
You can't. Yeah, you can't.
First of all, unless this is going away, if they're limiting media at the track, I'm not getting in anyway.
Yeah.
B, I really don't have a whole lot of intentions of traveling until I feel safe doing it. So, this very well may be a year of no on-track coverage for the Super Speedway. I don't know. It's tough. The thing that gives me hope, James, is that things change so quickly with this whole deal.
Yeah.
I went from thinking that there's no way I'm going to be working from home at all in this crisis to within 24 hours working from home and within a couple days having school canceled. So, so I don't know. I mean, there's a lot that can happen in that period of time. Our governor here in Michigan is talking about potentially extending our stay at home order a little bit longer. Into May, maybe a week or two, and then starting to loosen it up. So who knows? I mean, there's areas that have not been hit very hard by this, but as soon as you start sending a bunch of people into those areas and moving people around, I mean, then you run the risk. I think potentially of all the sports out there that this could work with, it's ours because so much is done outdoors.
Possibly.
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to be. I don't think the idea of being first is the best idea. But who knows? I mean, NASCAR was prepared to race at Atlanta and got sent home a couple hours before the race was supposed to start. So,
yeah, that was one of the egg on your face moments of the season too.
And this could be it too, but I don't know. I'll be tuning in if it happens.
Yeah, I just, you know, is the risk for disaster worth it? And I understand, like,
see, that's NASCAR, my argument with the people, and I don't want to get political on this podcast, but that's my argument with the people that are upset about the stay-at-home orders and stuff like that is, like I get it. This sucks. It really sucks. Yeah. It sucks for all of us. There's nobody that this doesn't suck for. But I don't want to rush it either.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm okay with it sucking a little longer so it doesn't have to suck permanently. Yeah. You know? I'm not sick right now. Nobody in my family is sick. So this sucks, but I'm not dealing with that. If something happens, then I got to deal with, you know, I don't know. But at the same time, at some point you got to step out of the bubble and, you know,
and get live things back sports, going too. So I don't know. Live sports for, you know, in the business sense of things, Eric, you and I are still able to make an income by not going anywhere.
Right.
But NASCAR needs to compete to pay the bills.
Yep.
And that's for the sanctioning body itself. It's for the racetracks. It's for the teams. You know, if they're going to pay the bills, they got to get their sponsors out there. Yep. And who the heck knows what the sponsors are going to even do? Because if you look at a company like Smithfield that fully funds the 10 car, they're in trouble right now. They've got a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of these companies are furloughing people. And
some of these sponsorships have less to do with getting their name out there and more to do with giving their, you know, important people in their company a place to go schmooze with the NASCAR teams. And if they can't do that, does that sponsorship have the value that it has? I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
Cessna doesn't put their name on a race car because people are buying airplanes because, you know what I mean? You know,
I understand. Yeah.
They don't. Sorry guys. Cessna is not catering to the typical NASCAR fan.
Yeah.
It's about being able to bring their people to the track and let them be big shots for a weekend.
You know, that's Dow. You're not going to your grocery store and buying Dow. I mean, you're buying things that they make, but when you see the Dow logo, you don't know, unless you're from our area where, you know, we're in Dow country. You don't know what that is.
Right.
You know, so.
And that's become a lot of what NASCAR sponsorship is anymore. It's the entertainment factor, not the getting your name out there factor. The days of putting Purelator on a car because you're selling, you know, oil filters is just not, that's just not the thing anymore.
The old GM Goodrich.
Yeah. You used to come to Michigan and you'd slap Meyer on the side of your car because there are Meyer stores around here and you see a lot less of that than you used to. So.
Yep. Yep. Or some mellow yellow, some fine and neat soft drinks.
Yep. Yep.
Good stuff. So, yeah, man, I want it back. I do. But I am cautiously like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. But there is something to be said. If you are the first one, Eric, and if you're the only one out there doing something, you're going to tick a lot of people off. But at the same time, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on you, good or bad.
Yep.
So, you know, usually when NASCAR is in the national spotlight, unfortunately, these days, it's for bad things.
Right.
You know, the last two national stories for NASCAR have been Ryan Newman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God he survived. And Kyle Larson.
Yep.
So, and then there's, you know, trickling in here and here and there, but those are the last big ones. So hopefully, you know, maybe it is the right decision. I don't think so, but I don't know. Hopeful.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of me that bounces back and forth on this thing, James, as you know, and I've talked about on the podcast that, you know, I'm a journalist. I've been living this COVID-19 crap for the entire time, day in and day out, looking at numbers, researching, reading about it. And, you know, it's tough because the numbers are saying one thing, but then at the same time, you do wonder, like, do we really need to be doing what we're doing, or are we doing more than we need to be doing? You know, maybe we could go back to, you know, not a normal life, but go back to some of our normal things and still be okay. But I don't like the idea of risking it. Personally, I've always been a better safe than sorry person. That's kind of my stance on things. So I don't know. It's the problem is none of us know. Even the experts don't know enough about this.
You read something new every day. It's something new every day.
We're not going to know enough about this to know whether we're doing the right thing or not until after it's passed.
Yeah.
You know, we'll know 5 years from now whether we took the right approach or didn't. But today we're not going to know. And
yeah, and we're watching. I mean, we're seeing the graphs and things, and numbers are coming down for us, and that's great. And then you
Michigan's
read a story.
Not number three anymore. For
which is good.
For deaths,
I mean, we're
not for
but we're going in the right direction. And then you read an article today that says, "Well, just wait till this winter; it's going to come back worse than ever." And it's like, "Oh my God."
Yep.
You can't escape it. You just can't. This is our lives, for better or for worse, for a little while.
What do you think, James? You think we get fans back in the stands at a NASCAR race this year?
I don't think this year. Well, I don't think so. Unless we get a vaccine, I don't know. I don't know how you can do, even if you had instantaneous testing to get people in, I don't know how you can get fans out there.
Yeah,
it's going to be. It's going to be hard.
I'm with you. I think
they're talking about no college football this coming season already. And that's in the fall. Yeah. So
see, I think that's extreme to start canceling fall stuff right now. I know there's a lot of,
they're not canceling it, but they're definitely planning on it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think you need to wait till you're a month ahead and then, you know, then start making cancellations. But
yeah,
I don't know, you know, eventually we'll get through this. And I don't think life will be the same, but hopefully it'll be.
It's definitely different.
Semi-normal. I would like to not have to wear masks all the time when I go out, but I'm okay with it if I have to.
It is kind of cool to know that you can live off of a lot of the bare necessities. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you go to the grocery store and you have to scavenge a little bit, right. But then you can make it work. Like, hey,
see, I don't know. I've not had our local grocery store here has been everything I've wanted is there. I have not had to scavenge for anything. I had to change my body wash, James, because they don't have the body wash that I normally use.
That's why, like, I went to a bigger store, a Meijer store, yesterday, but usually, you know, the store that's in our town is a Spartan store, and it's not, you know, they're kind of on their own.
Right.
So you got to take what you can get when you order from there, and it's not pretty. And then I went to Meijer's yesterday and I couldn't find pasta. I was like, that was the only thing I couldn't find. I'm like, really? It's the pasta? I even got paper towels, for God's sake. That's like gold.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, it's not terrible, but it's definitely weird going into the stores and doing things like that. Especially in our house where I'm the only one who runs. So it's like, you know, it's definitely like I'm more getting used to it now than anything.
Yeah.
But
all right, James, anything else to talk about?
I did send you an article on Facebook. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it really quick, but Kenny Schrader and Kenny Wallace are going to race this week.
Really?
Did you see that?
Oh yeah. You did send me that. That's right. Yeah.
I'm opening the article right now in South Dakota, and they've got the governor riled up because the local track. Hold on, I'm getting it. Bear with me.
Yeah, there's a lot. Should have had this pulled over this.
I should have had this pulled up beforehand. So this was on the main USA Today feed. There's a picture of Ken Schrader and from his Skull Bandit days, right on the front.
Nice and current.
Yeah, what was that, 96, somewhere around there, 97? a dirt track in North Sioux City in South Dakota will hold a race on Saturday with a ticket cap of 700 fans for a 4,000-seat venue. Hmm. The governor is mad. That's all we got to say. They're going to try to keep people 6 feet apart. They're going to try to follow guidelines according to the promoter.
See, this is how I see NASCAR bringing fans back, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know that they could possibly do it and make it work, but this is the way I could see them do it, is saying, okay, we'll let fans in, but we're only going to let, you know,
we're gonna
15% capacity.
Yeah, I don't know if they can even.
Probably not.
I don't know. I don't even know if fans would even want to show up. Would you want to go to a live event?
No.
Exactly.
Nope.
And I ain't flying anytime soon, I'll tell you that.
Nope. I have no interest. Like, that's what I said. Like,
you're not going to get me around a bunch of yahoos, especially, you know, NASCAR fans. I love you guys, but a NASCAR race is a rowdy place, man.
We just lost all of our. We had like 7 listeners, James, and they're gone.
No, I'm just saying it's a rowdy party. You know, like you know what it's like going to a NASCAR race on a Sunday.
It's rowdy nation.
It's rowdy.
Oh, wait, that's
well, not that rowdy. Yeah, it's the beer drinking rowdy. you know? Yeah,
right.
Which is great. That's part of the, that's the NASCAR atmosphere.
People aren't really caring about social distancing at a NASCAR race. They're not worried about
personal space at a NASCAR race.
No.
No, they're about having a good time with their buddies and drinking and carrying on. I mean, that's the way to do it.
Can you catch coronavirus from vomit? I think you can.
Possibly. I have some great, I don't even know if the podcast is a great place to talk about drunk NASCAR fan stories, but man, that's an episode.
We had this guy. Okay. So you're going to start, you're going to get me going. So we had this guy that, at MIS that we were there. I think it was, we must've been there for Friday for qualifying and practice. And we're sitting there in the stands, and this was back in like the mid-90s. And every time Mark Martin would go by, he'd just yell, "Mark Martin, Mark Martin," hold his beer up in the air, cheering, so excited. And he was by us all weekend long. So the Busch race the next day, of course, Martin's racing the Busch race. Every lap, Mark Martin, cheering, holding his beer up. Sunday we get there, and we're looking around, and he's nowhere to be found. And all of a sudden we look down, and he is just laying on the ground in the stands, spread out. Completely out cold. He finally had too much Mark Martin. It was so good.
And Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
I took my father-in-law. So I guess we'll go story for story on this one. Cause I've got some. Yeah. One of my more recent ones, this was the race that Dale Jr. won in the Dark Knight car.
Okay.
Okay. So I thought it was a good idea. I'm like, oh, you know, my father-in-law, he's, you know, wasn't my father-in-law at this point, but you know, he got into kind of watching NASCAR with me a little bit because, you know, my interests are his interests or whatever. So I'm like, well, hey, we'll get you a ticket. We'll go, you know, we'll take, you know, my wife and we'll go. And we're walking around the midway and there's this dude and Eric, he was barely functioning. His buddies were basically like corralling him. It was like five guys. He has no shirt on, just, you know, and I think he had like short shorts. So he was a real character. And these girls walk by, younger girls, like in their 20s, and he looked like a zombie from The Walking Dead. Like he just saw a person, and he just, like, you know how the zombies will turn on The Walking Dead and just start kind of waddling
toward,
like, very slowly, and he just turned like a zombie, and we were losing it, because he was just going to start following these girls, and his buddies were like, no, we gotta keep going this way, and I'm just like, oh my god. That's fantastic. And it was, we went to the midway at 9:30 in the morning. So
2011 Daytona 500, after the race, there was this woman that she passed out standing in line waiting for the bathroom. And it wasn't passed out because of heat. It was definitely passed out due to alcohol. It had to be basically carried out. It was just, it's like, man, like I don't drink, but like this is the Daytona 500. Would you want to remember it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I guess if you've been to a few of them, maybe not. I don't know.
I guess to some people, it's just a race. But
I sat behind a biker one year at MIS. And this had to be early 2000s, probably. And he had Dale Earnhardt tattoos. And he must have crashed his bike because he had road rash all over his body. And his back was so bad that he scraped the... He scraped the three off of his shoulder blade.
Oh, God.
And you can see the outline of the three, and I'm just like, oh, my God. And, of course, he's not wearing a shirt. And, you know, his gal who's with him is continuously rubbing, like, alcohol or whatever on his body. Now it's just like, oh, my God, where did this guy get these tickets?
On a new tangent here, Earnhardt fans, man. I loved Earnhardt fans. So I don't remember what year it was, but we were there for qualifying, back when qualifying was a thing and people actually cared and they came on qualifying day to watch it. And Earnhardt went to go out for qualifying and he made it about maybe 30 feet and the car shut off. And that place just went wild. It was it was like, I don't know, man. It was like Dale Jr. just won the Daytona 500. People were cheering so much.
Yeah.
It was great. He blew an oil pump belt is what happened. And then of course everybody was making fun of it all weekend long at the campground across the street from the track. But the Earnhardt fans were great because like most people go to a race, and if their driver crashes out, they're disappointed, but they still enjoy the race. Earnhardt yeah. fans, man. Earnhardt, the one race, he crashed out about halfway through the race at MIS, and I swear half the people in our section of the stands left.
Everybody oh, yeah, that, Earnhardt that shirt, happened with left. Dale Jr. fans, too, just, at one time.
It's crazy.
When two Dale Jr. stories. One was when I was at the 2013 Daytona 500.
Mm-hmm.
He got the biggest cheer because he made a run. If you remember how that race played out, he made a run on the last lap to get to Jimmy and pretty much dang near won the thing. He came from like 10th to 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed – if he would have had one more lap, he would have won that Daytona 500. And he got the loudest cheer for that run that I've ever – well, it's the second loudest cheer I've ever heard because I was in the stands – as I mentioned, for Dale Jr.'s Dark Knight win.
I'm so disappointed I wasn't there for that. Just and to experience the insanity.
Holy, I have never, and it probably won't happen again in my lifetime. I have never seen anything like it. It was just pandemonium in the stands. I thought the stands were coming down. And we sat, you've sat where I used to sit, and mm-hmm. we sat at the very tippy top and pretty close to the tippy top. And holy crap, dude, it was coming down. And I was pissed because yeah. Stewart was second that day. That's why I wanted Stewart to get that win so bad.
I stood at the fence as Kyle Busch came down at Chicagoland after he beat Larson, the slide job. The slide job race. Oh, hold on it.
Eric, are we allowed to use slide job anymore?
I don't
is
know.
That like, are we, is that fired by association?
I don't know why.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm trying to make light of a really ugly situation. probably not my best move.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I was at the fence when Kyle Busch pulled up and pulled the water bag out of his crotch and yeah, did the crybaby in the camera. And I was scared for my life down there, man, with all the Kyle Busch haters booing him. It was so loud. It was wonderful though. Just wonderful. So great to be right yeah. there. I got it on video.
I'll have to look back, and maybe if I find it, I've got it on video somewhere. I'll have to look it up. I think I've got that Dale Jr. race on camera from the stands. That would be one to share.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, he was in the running for my Daytona 500 and then wrecked in one of the green-white checkers on the back yeah. stretch.
I think, you know, the thing with Dale Jr., he could have won any race, but that day, that was a long drought. Wasn't that the 4-year drought or something?
Yeah, that was, I think that was the big one for him.
Yeah, he hadn't won since 2008, I think, or whatever.
And that was the fuel mileage race, right?
Not the one he beat Stewart. Yeah, he did win the fuel mileage race at Michigan in 2008. That he did win that one. Yeah, but the Dark Knight one. No, the Dark Knight one, he just kicked everybody's butt at the end of the race.
That's right.
And yeah, it basically took it from Stewart. Which I was so mad. And it was such a cool, and I couldn't even be mad because it was such a cool moment to be there.
Right. Oh, you were mad. You're a Dale Jr. hater. We all know it.
James. I know.
We know it.
I know. That came back to haunt me just a little bit. Okay. It's okay. If you haven't listened to that podcast, that's a good one.
Man, every time, so I'm going on Instagram trying to find my shout out. And every time I go on Instagram and Baron Speedway pops up, I have to look at it twice and determine whether it's a real photo.
Yeah, he's caught me a couple times. Yeah,
man, he's doing some cool stuff. He's building a grandstand now, guys. It's great. Really good stuff. He's got a great picture up here of Jordan Anderson and Grant Enfinger racing through the turn, and it just looks like the real thing.
Yeah, he's relentless.
Yeah, he is.
Quarantine's probably the best thing to happen to him.
Yeah. That is true.
He's cranking out the content.
James, you got any shout outs this week? First of all, did I miss anything? Are we good? If you guys missed it, I made the announcement earlier. We got today. Jeff Gordon is racing this weekend at Talladega. Coming out of retirement. It's worth a watch. Check it out.
Jeff Gordon's going to turn on the box.
Yep.
Let's see what he's got.
Yep.
I'm pretty curious to actually see how he does. He probably hasn't played video games in how many years? 20?
It's probably he has no reason to be racing iRacing.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll do very well. He might do better than Bowyer.
Probably.
It doesn't take a lot.
Bowyer's been noticeably pretty bad.
I wonder if Bowyer won't race this weekend then, if Bowyer's going to sit in Gordon's seat, cuz Bowyer seemed to really enjoy that last week when he crashed out and got to sit there and just watch the race.
Well, who gets the 24 car then? Does Byron get to keep?
Well, that's
the 24?
I'm wondering if Gordon jumps in the 14.
Or is Jeff going to drive the 88? Yeah, he can't drive a Ford.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder what they'll do. Maybe they'll put him on.
Well, he could. I guess Jeff could drive a Ford.
Hey, actually, somebody tweets here on Twitter. So, Jeff Gordon Webb, what number are you using on Sunday? Got a pretty good not used lately idea, and it's a picture of the 67 Outback car from Jeff Gordon's Bush days.
That's a good one.
A really good one.
Yeah. The four. Could he run the 42? Just, nice. You know, with the Hendrick style numbers.
How great would it be if Gordon ran? Here's a picture of somebody tweeted. How great would it be to see him run the T-Rex car?
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, that would look good.
Great paint scheme. I would love that. I'm not going to find this guy that I want to shout out today because Instagram sucks and doesn't lay these out in the order that you followed them. So
I want to shout out, it's not any one person in particular, but the people who do the custom die casts on Instagram and they take pictures.
Yeah.
Dude, some of those, like, they do race win versions and the fenders are all flared out. And mm-hmm. I'm like, holy cow, you guys put a lot of time into these things. And then there's the guys who do, like, the fantasy die casts. So, like, it'll be, like, Tony Stewart's silver Home Depot car on a Camaro body. And stuff like that. And I just think that stuff like always catches my eye whenever I'm scrolling through and Instagram knows that I like these things.
Right.
And it sprinkles them in across the, you know, I don't follow most of these people, but sprinkles them in the search. And I can't stop looking at that kind of stuff. And it always catches my eye. The paint schemes, you know, there's a guy on there who does like fantasy paint schemes on new models of stuff. And that's just fantastic.
Yeah, I've seen some really good ones. Somebody just auctioned off a Kurt Busch Kentucky win from last year, and I was, of course, at that race, covered that race.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Man, it was tempting. I missed getting a
that's
ticket
a cool,
for it.
That's a cool race car.
Yeah.
The all-black number one.
Yeah, I just like the idea of, just having the race win cars for the races that I've gone to. It'd be pretty cool. Fortunately, I haven't gone to enough to where it's necessary for me to.
Thank you. I think you and I both got number. You and I both got one for the smaller diecast.
Yeah,
right
we
now,
got 164 scales of.
We won't name names.
A former NASCAR Cup Series driver.
I've got the burnt rubber off the track from that race too.
Nice. I did try to bring home some confetti from Victory Lane one of the races last season that didn't hold up well in my bag though. It wasn't anything special. It was just regular confetti. So, yeah, I'm not going to find this guy. Damn it. I really want to.
I grabbed a handful of grass from the Daytona infield.
Nice. Nice. I want to see how they do the designs in the Daytona infield. I know that there's ways you do it with, like, using a roller to roll the grass a certain direction, but I don't think that's how they do it there.
It's got to be some sort of a computer animated.
It looks like they.
Like Roomba or something, right?
See, I sat down and I'm like pulling the grass out to see if there's paint in it. Like, did they paint the whole grass? But no, they
didn't. I
didn't
go that deep. I know. I just grabbed some grass.
We had the infield pass for Friday night or Friday, and there was a long period of time between the truck introductions and when you could go back across the track to your seats, and we were just dead from walking all day. So we were sitting there in the grass and I was pulling grass out left and right, looking at us like, is there green paint on here or what? But
remember when we were at Eldora, was it the first time we were walking the track? Do you remember that? No, it had to be the second time we were down there.
What is there more to the story? Cause
no, when did we,
oh, when we got to actually go out.
Well, yeah, remember we were walking the track? We were just out there on the track walking around.
I don't know.
Remember I got that awesome picture? It was just nobody was out there. It was just me and you, and I took a picture in the track. It's basically a quiet track.
Right.
And it goes all the way around the front stretch. It's probably my favorite picture I've ever taken.
Yeah, that.
And we were mucking around on the Eldora dirt, and I was just like, holy crap, this is sweet.
That was like the second or third year that they let us do the garage tour.
Yeah, it had to be the second year, right? To be the second year. The first year, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. No. We were just excited to be down
Nobody knew what they were doing the first year.
No, it had to be the second year, because remember, we were in the pits, and smoke was riding around in the four-wheeler just buzzing by us, and we were like, what the heck is going on? Cole Custer was down there, and God, Larson was running. We had – that was the Brad Keselowski race, I think.
Yep, you're right.
And you know, Dillons.
It was interesting because we saw that – we thought that Keselowski ran Michigan license plates on his truck because he's from Michigan, but it turns out all the Fords
do.
NASCARs have. I did not know that until
The Stuart Haas guys do it too.
Yeah,
those were fun times. We should have a podcast where we just tell stories. We've got some stories, man. We got some good ones.
Yep, agreed.
They're not Ryan McGee stories, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we may have to turn to that here. We're already doing it a little bit. So I'm not going to do the shout out I was going to do because there's this guy that made a replica of his home racetrack, like Barron Speedway or whatever. It's a diorama type thing. And I wanted to shout him out, but I can't find it. So I'll try and find it for next week and I'll shout it out next week. But since we were talking about the Racewind diecasts and stuff like that, Race Car Graveyard.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good feed.
He collects NASCAR diecasts. He's a custom builder of diecasts. His stuff is good. If you want to check it out, Race Car Graveyard on Instagram. He's got all kinds of cool stuff.
He's not putting them out in the yard anymore, is he? From what I can tell,
I don't think so.
He's been doing originally when I first saw Race Car Graveyard, he was taking diecasts apart like they were wrecked, and he was sticking them in his backyard.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, since I've been following him, he's just been doing race win cars and stuff like that, the replicas of different damaged cars and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that's fascinating. I almost spent the money on a custom diecast of Austin Dillon's car from the Pepsi 400 or Coke 400 when he went the fence at Daytona.
Oh my God. Because
there were a couple of really good ones. And it's like, man, I want that car, but I don't know why. The hell am I gonna do with that? But I wanted one. So
hell, man, just go buy one for yourself. You can probably get them on the discount rack and then drag it behind your car.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll customize it for you.
There were a couple good custom ones that were like legit, right down to the wheel that was left and the fender. It was good stuff.
I'm looking at Race Car Graveyard really quick because I'm scrolling way back in time. You're right. He's been doing more of the custom stuff lately.
My cousin had a, you know, back when models were a thing, he had a model of a Jeep, and he took a lighter and stuff and like made this thing like it'd been through the trails, put dents and stuff in it, and had mud and like marks and stuff, and had it like beat up. And I always wanted to do something like that because it just was so cool. And I remember I built a model of an ASA car way back, and I had it forever. And then finally decided it was starting to come apart. I was going to toss it, and it's like, you know, I'm going to take a lighter to it and see if I can do this. Nah, I just lit it on fire. It didn't work. It was terrible, so I just threw it away.
I used to take my little diecast and put it in my grandpa's vice grip and rip the fenders off.
Yeah, I did have I had a set of old diecasts that I'd smash with a hammer. And then use them for my monster truck cars, the crushed cars.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's another one of my dreams. So these guys are building these track dioramas, and that's super cool to me. I've always wanted to do that. I also want to build like the floor of a Monster Jam arena and just have like a 1/64 scale Monster Jam arena set up.
Heck yeah.
But I have a lot of these dreams that just, they require you to actually do work, and I don't like to do that, so...
So I was doing a quick little bit of research. So if you do go to Race Car Graveyard, go back to like 2018. You can see all of his cars laying in his backyard.
Nice. I'll have to go back. I've never gone back that far.
Yeah, give it a long scroll. But yeah,
one more shout out, guys, because it's been a couple weeks since I shouted out Dale Earnhardt Jr. Dale Earnhardt Jr. on Twitter is just the greatest thing ever. So there's a picture here where NASCAR Legends tweeted out a picture of Robert Yates a couple days ago. It would have been his 77th birthday. And in the picture, it's Robert Yates and Larry McReynolds standing inside the car, Davey Allison's car, next to the motor.
Picture. Yeah, that's a good picture.
And here's Davey with his foot up on the front fender of the car, and his knee's like way too high. His helmet's sitting on his knee. It looks really awkward. So Junior retweets it, and his comment is, Davey has that look like put my foot up here because I thought it would look cool, and it's up here way too high, and now I'm committed. It's so good. Dale Jr. is the ultimate Twitter troll. So,
yep. Thoughts of a real NASCAR driver and what they go through. There you go.
Yep. Yep. I love it. With that, James, anything else before we head on out of here?
Oh, I think that was good ramblings.
Yeah. We managed to stretch it out to normal length by rambling for a half hour. So
how we do it.
If anybody's still here, still listening at this point, where can they find you on social media if they want to talk to you during the week, James?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway Twitter. I've been a little bit more active on there lately than normal. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the show notes, links to articles we've discussed, past coverage of races, all that sort of thing. So check that out, thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Wherever you found us today, we hope you subscribe. We'll still be here throughout this this quarantine until we get back to real racing, and then we'll be back here every week to talk about real stuff. So hopefully sooner than later, but hopefully not too soon. If you want to become a part of the show, help us out, or show us your support, you can become a patron at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. We step back in time this weekend at Talladega Super Speedway, the virtual Talladega Super Speedway, with Jeff Gordon returning to action. Yeah, it's the only way you're going to get to see Jeff Gordon race again. So at least we got iRacing. Back to Talladega this weekend. We'll be back next week to talk about it and rip on it and all that stuff. We'll be back here just to try and keep a little bit of normalcy in your lives. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.